Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask for your blessings today, your wisdom today, your anointing today. And we thank you for this word you're going to share. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is an update to provision for David's house. And Eve Brast is sharing this. I'm sharing it for her. And the Lord gave instructions to her, revelations and dreams and everything. And so I'm going to be reading this from Eve here. Eve said, "The Lord instructed us to update the David's House page. Recently, the owner of David's House has given a deadline of May the 2nd for the purchase of David's House before the house would be put on the market. And the Lord had me come across the information that had been sent out to everyone in larger UBM of where to send the donations for David's house. And I was reminded of the original dream, a revelation shared below. After the first and the only time that we mentioned the revelation below of an offering for David's house, the donations of the saints had fallen off, mostly because it was out of sight and out of mind. We came to believe that maybe the Lord would provide for the rest of what was needed for the purchase of the house through the GCR. But Father showed me in another dream this morning that this other way was not the method that he chose to use, but his original command below." Okay. And because of this, the Lord has been impressing me that we need to bring this up before the saints again as a reminder that this is how he has ordained for the provision for the purchase of the house. But I was uncertain that I was hearing clearly from the Lord and didn't want to get into works to bring to pass what we were having faith for. I believe that one of the reasons for this is because he desires to bless our listeners for their sacrificial gifts to bless David. David has sacrificed his life and the majority of all of his resources continually over the lifetime of this UBM ministry that the Lord gave him in order to meet the needs of all the brethren. 1 Chronicles 29:1-9 was given to her. "And David the king said unto all the assembly, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things of the gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, stones for inlaid work, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover also, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, seeing that I have a treasure of mine own of gold and of silver, I give it unto the house of my God." Of course, he's I got this because of my sacrificial life of preparing for God's house. Not this particular house, but God's house. "Seeing that I have a treasure of mine own of gold and silver, I give it unto the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, therewith to overlay the walls of the houses, of gold for the things of gold, and of silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, who then offereth willingly to consecrate himself this day unto the Lord. Then the princes of the fathers' houses, and the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers over the king's work, offered willingly. And they gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and of iron 100,000 talents. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord under the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And she said, this is the original method which God desires to use for the sake of his kingdom. And that's the part, verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord and David the king. So, and here, Eve had a further revelation. She's, we called it, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. And of course, that's what we and a lot of people with us have done to prepare for this beginning to build the house of God. Okay? And so Eve got this on 4/2/21. I dreamed that David was merged with President Trump and was sitting in front of me and slightly to the right. His head was larger than normal, and it was Trump's face. I hope that means more wisdom. It was Trump's face that predominated his appearance, even though they were merged together. Well, we have been expecting that the David Man-Child reformers will come to power parallel to Cyrus Trump conquering Babylon. Daniel was promoted over Babylon on the night that Cyrus conquered Babylon. Daniel was a type of the Man-Child. So at this time, they became parallel. So that fits with the dream, okay? And she went on to say, David was telling me all about the GCR and how it was going to solve so many financial issues for people and for the financial situation for his house as well. Then the voice of the Lord spoke from above and behind me, saying something like, it shall not be so with David's house. In other words, God hasn't chosen this method for David's house. I can remember everything he said, but I understood in the dream that the GCR was not going to happen in time for the deadline of the purchase of his house. Well, very interestingly, the first deadline was 4/1/21. When the GCR was touted to come. But that day came and went, and it didn't happen. And now we know why, but we can't tell anyone yet why it didn't happen. Okay? But it's going to work out to our great advantage. This we know. And then she said, I woke up. I was pondering the dream this morning when Missy received a confirmation of this correction. And the trust in the GCR for the provision was the Ishmael. The original plan and promise was the Isaac, that the saints of God in UBM would provide for the purchase of David's house according to the dream revelation in the original broadcast here below. Okay, so here's the original broadcast. provision for David's house. And this was Eve Brast, 12:8-19. And I had notes in red in it at that time, which I'm going to share with you too. And at that time I said, I'm a little apprehensive because I have never asked anyone for money, but I will share Eve's revelations in obedience to the Lord's word. And of course, so it wasn't, it's not me asking for it anyway. It's the Lord's word, and I can't stand in his way. You know, before I've always just asked the Lord for money and it's always come, but he wants to do this way this time. Okay. It's very obvious. Eve said, I had asked Father to give me a dream or a word concerning how David would be able to purchase his house that he is currently in after our meeting on Thanksgiving. And again, this was back on 12:8-19. David shared a word I had received from the Lord on 11:26-19 concerning Father's provision for the purchase of his house, which he had promised to him. The owner was going to sell the house, but was offering David the first chance to buy it, and has checked back with him several times. Then the dream and the word below is what the Lord gave me. Here is a portion of what the word on 11:26-19. I asked Father concerning some of David's questions, and then I asked, what about David's house? And Father said, speaking to David, do not be anxious or troubled concerning the house. I have desired it for my dwelling place. I will not allow it to be sold to another. Though they may try, it will not succeed. I will provide for the purchase. Okay, so I asked for a confirmation of this word, Eve said, with a couple of quarters that I kept by my nightstand that rarely come up all heads, and I got two heads for confirmation. Then I asked for a random word by faith, and my finger was on Psalm 33:13, 9-22 for context. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Okay. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the nations to naught. He maketh the thoughts of the peoples to be of no effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth fast forever. So this, we consider this like a confirmation three times that what Father promised he would do, and that also that his first command still stands. So the thoughts of his house to all generations. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, and he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh forth upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And he that fashioneth the hearts of them all, that considereth all their works. There is no king saved by a multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither doth he deliver any by his great power. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. And this is all underlined by Eve. Upon them that hope in his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul hath waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in thee. Then 11:30-19, she got this. I dreamed that I and my oldest son, Noah, that's her firstborn, who was 9 years old in the dream, were going on a mission field trip with local and larger UBM. And I believe that I and Noah represent the corporate body of the first fruits. We are representing the whole of the corporate UBM body also. The firstborn of the bride has the nine fruits of the Spirit. David, as a type of the man-child, is God's firstborn son in this text, which is Psalm 89 and 27. I also will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. And Eve said, I literally got this same word when I asked for a random word in real life for Noah 3 years ago. We were all going to this huge multi-story white marble mansion that was not more than three stories. Our father's house, is what she said. It was very bright outside as the sun shone down on us and upon the mansion as we were approaching it. Well, let me just say that, you know, when all of David's discussions with the Lord, there was a mention of two houses, God's house and David's house. And so that's why we're going back and forth between these two houses. The most important thing is, of course, the building of God's house, which David prepared for. And God said that he would build David a house. And so that's what's happening here. A parallel. So the three stories in this house represent three levels of maturity. Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. Addressing the bride, the father says, Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And nations shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. And of course, we've shared this before as something that is coming now. And it is. God is going to raise up his bride. He's going to, first of all, show people that he has chosen his bride out of the peoples and so on. He's going to raise up his bride, and they will go forth in the mighty glory of God. Okay, my thought was concerning this text here is first God manifests the glory to the bride, and then he brings his people out of Babylonish captivity to come under the bride as it was originally in the time of David. Yes, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun, right? Verse 4, Lift up thine eyes round about and see, they all gather themselves together. They come to thee, speaking about coming to the bride. Thy son shall come from far. Thy daughter shall be carried in the arms. Then thou shalt see and be radiant. And thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. Now, this is going to happen. And it's going to prove to you that this particular time is the time of this. Okay? So, Jeremiah 3. 14 through 17 was my note here. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am a husband unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. In other words, they will be coming back out of captivity, just like this other text, to Zion, which is their capital city and their bride city, right? And I will give you shepherds, and in this case it's the man-child reformer body, according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind. neither shall they remember it, neither shall they miss it, neither shall it be made any more. In other words, something else is more important here, right? The Ark of the Covenant was a literal parable to show something greater to come down the road. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. Well, notice, Jerusalem is the bride, and now she is the throne of the Lord, along with their King David, representing the man-child who was caught up to the throne in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 3 and 21 says, "He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." And then we see the nations of God's people come to the bride and the man-child to be under their rule, as it was in David's time, and we should say also Jesus' time, because all the people gathered around Jesus and the bride, which John the Baptist said was these first fruits disciples who gathered around Jesus. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And so the people were gathering and listening and being fed and being their needs met and so on in under Jesus, right? And the text goes on that Eve got, "And all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart." Okay, wow. Notice the name of the Lord is synonymous here with the bride. And the Hebrew word name means nature, character, and authority, very much like the Greek New Testament word for name. And this speaks, of course, of the bride's maturity, coming into the image of Christ, right? Because Jesus' name is who he was. He was the character, nature, and authority of God. And, of course, Jesus turned and gave this to the bride. "What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." He gave this authority to them. And, of course, they passed it on. So Eve said, "When we got inside and my eyes were adjusted, I saw beautiful polished marble floors throughout and a large grand staircase with cherry wood banisters curving up to the second floor. There were elegant crystal chandeliers and many, many rooms." Well, you know, in John 14, 2 through 4, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Meaning, of course, it's the same as what Ephesians talks about. Many houses builded together for a holy temple in the Lord, right? "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," that is a place for you in that mansion, right? In that Father's house, "I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know the way." Okay. Then Eve continued. She said, "The rooms that I saw were furnished with antique cherry wood furniture and antique maroon Persian rugs of different designs." And, of course, this is a type of the house of God at the beginning, which we should have never departed from to go into captivity in Babylon. But let's just say that the whole church did that, and there was the first fruits that came out of Babylon, you know, to rebuild the house of God. But everybody, in some form or other, went to Babylon. It means they had an immature idea of the kingdom of God, and most are still there in Babylon, and they still have an immature idea of the kingdom of God, and they've remade it in their own image. So Isaiah 46:9-13 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's none else. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning." Well, you know, God teaches his children to declare the end from the beginning because they are sons of God, right? But you'll notice that this glorious house of God, which represents his people in the beginning, will also be in the end. Why does he mention this here? "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning." So in the beginning, there was this revelation of the house of God in the Old Testament, which was simply a parable. And now, this is the end. He was declaring the end from the beginning. Praise be to God. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand." So he declared it from ancient times, and it didn't come to pass then, even though they built physical buildings that they called the house of God, or temporary tabernacles that they called the house of God. That was not the house of God. It was the parable. Okay? Saying, "My counsel shall stand. God dwelleth not in houses made with men's hands." Have you heard what God says? But he had to have this parable, okay? So God was saying, "My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man of my counsel." So when is the fulfillment of this going to happen? Because this is what he's talking about. Who is this he's talking about? He's talking about Cyrus, a type of Trump, to conquer Babylon so that the people of God could be set free to go and rebuild the house of God. That's where we are now. And this is going to be the glorious house of God. It's God's people coming into his glory, manifesting his glory, shining forth with his glory. This is what we've been preparing for years here. "From a far country, yea, I have spoken. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will also do it." He is doing it. He is so many, many verses that don't necessarily mention Cyrus's name. We're talking about him in this day right here. See? Glory, glory be to God. "Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness." Yeah, these are the people who are still in Babylonish captivity that are to come to and be a part of the house of God, right? "I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion, for Israel my glory." Well, the Bible says, God who dwelleth in Zion. God's salvation is first going to be revealed in the bride, just as it was in Jesus' day. Jesus, the man-child, spoke the word of God into the heart of the bride, those first fruit disciples, according to what John the Baptist said, and they carried his glory to the rest of Israel, and they raised up the fivefold ministry, and so on and so forth. It was a glorious church with power and anointing, and it doesn't look like that today. That's because it's in ruins. The Babylonians destroyed it, okay? But there's a resurrection coming for the house of God, and it's going to be so glorious. People walking in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know he is the house of God, right? And we, as we abide in him, the Lord is able to manifest his glory in us and let it shine forth unto the people. Jeremiah 6:16, Eve put here, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Yes, walk in those old paths that the Lord laid down, not the modern church garbage that we see out there today, which does not reflect the early church. And you can take any child and have them read the New Testament, and they would know that it does not reflect the early church. This is the Babylonish captivity that we're seeing all around us, right? And, of course, God's had this plan from the beginning, and he spoke it from the beginning, that this glorious house that they built was a type and a shadow of his most glorious house that he's building without men's hands. And it's made up of God's people. Praise God. Those God's people coming into his glory, coming into agreement with his word, etc., etc. And that's awesome. It is awesome. And as you know, Cyrus came to set the people of God free so that they can go and rebuild the house. And the latter glory is going to be greater than the former glory, the Bible says. And that's because the former glory was just that, an image and an imagination and a type and shadow of the thing that is coming now. It's about to happen. There, he went on to say, there were also many beautiful rooms with large libraries, with shelves and shelves of books from floor to ceiling, and large antique fireplaces with vigorous fires burning. Amen. Could be sacrificial offerings of flesh, right? But in God's original house, there's much knowledge available to his children. That's all these books, right? But they have followed after Babylonian religion and need to come back to the true knowledge of God. Amen. Studying the Word of God will, of course, burn up the flesh. Therefore, we have all these ancient fireplaces, right? There were many study desks made of cherry wood and beautiful antique upholstered tapestry couches, and chairs for sitting and reading or studying. 2 Timothy 2 and 15, King James Version, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. And, of course, God's people, they're not just sitting around twiddling their thumbs, sitting on a pew waiting for the rapture. They're studying to show themselves approved unto God. They're putting in their heart the very word that creates God in them, Jesus in them, who is the Word. And these, of course, will be workmen that who are building a house, by the way, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The devil has come in to try to confuse people about the word of God. And the preachers haven't done what they should have done in the very beginning, which is go home, get their Bible, and find out the truth before they get out there and get a certificate that lets them go turn a bunch of poor people into foolish and Babylonish. And we just ask, Lord, that you do a quick work and bring your people back to Zion. Amen. So Joshua 1 and 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night. Oh gosh, people spend so much time day and night studying what men say and what men have done, rather than the Word of God. And that's why, you know, our books have to be full of the Word of God, and not departing from the Word of God, assimilating the sum of thy words, which is the truth. We have to do that in our mind. We can't just take the few verses that preachers give us on Sunday. We have to go and assimilate the word into our hearts and find the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. Ezra 7 and 10, Eve put here, she said, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. And 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your hands, even as we charged you. Amen. Well, to the right of us, you said, past the foyer, was a large kitchen that looked similar to a kitchen in a high-end restaurant. It was all stainless steel. There were many round tables beyond that for people to eat at. Well, let me just say, my note then was, in Father's house, all hunger and thirst for truth is met. Jesus, who is the Word, is also our bread, as he said in John 6:35-51. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you have seen me, and yet believe not. All that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All right. David led us all up the grand staircase to the second floor. Of course, that's where the David man-childs are going to do, is lead people in this process of maturity. Because the word of the Lord will truly live in them, and it's only the word of the Lord that can make us mature. As the parable of the sower, when Jesus sowed the word into the hearts of men, it brought forth one of the four who gave good ground to the word, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So there'll be a lot of people that will not give good ground to the word and won't process and won't come into the image of Christ. It's just always been that way. But God's looking for that one of the four that bears the fruit. Amen. He doesn't want the plant. People are working night and day to take care of the plant. But as I've always said, he's not interested in the plant. He's got a new plant. He's got a new body he's going to give to those who have been faithful to him and follow after him and seek his kingdom. So David led us all up the grand staircase to the second floor, and when we got to the top, I realized that it was a children's cancer hospital. God's children are living under the curse of death, which is like a cancer in our souls. We're living in a time, I believe, of great death that's been sent out by Babylon, the deep state, and that is the vaccines. And a lot of people are going to find out, you know, that they did not listen to the Lord, and they did not put their faith in the Lord. They put their faith in man. What a terrible thing. Cursed is the man that trusts in man. You cannot break the word of God. And I believe between here and the end of the year, or even as some people are saying, September, there's going to be a lot of death. And people will be dying of things that are not have anything to do with COVID-19, because basically this thing destroys your immune system. And this permits people to die of many things. Of course, they'll blame it on everything but their vaccine. So, anyway, we know that a church is supposed to be a hospital to heal the sick, not man's way, God's way. Eve went on to say, there were many patient rooms, but I did not see any nurses or doctors. We were the ones who were there to minister the word and healing to the children. And we're not talking about physical children, we're talking about spiritual children, the children of God, right? Healing to the children and their families. His house has the cure because his disciples have the bread of life. This is true. God's house has the cure. So many are not filling their life up with the word of God so that Jesus in them can bring this cure to other people. Right? There's only one solution to what just happened, folks. One solution. Go to the bread of life. Have a Passover. Yes, you have invited poison into your bodies, many of you that are listening to me. You've made a terrible mistake, and God knows that, and he still has a solution. That's right. It's to put your trust in him now, to be delivered of this curse that you invited into your life. And Eve went on to say, we all paired off into twos. Noah and I paired up, and then we all went around ministering to the sick children and their families. Noah and I are representing the whole of the corporate UBM body also. Yeah, I believe that's true because people who studied with us, they've got a lot of word in their heart, and they've got a lot of knowledge, and they're able to go forth when the anointing comes upon them to do a lot of healing and deliverance. Amen. Looking forward to it. Mark 6, 7 through 15. And he calleth unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two. And there's your two witnesses, by the way, in case you don't know that. And he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he charged them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no bread, no wallet, no money in their purses, but to go shod with the sandals, and said he, put not on two coats. Amen. So they don't need man's provision here. We need God's provision. Put not on two coats. And he said unto them, Wheresoever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart thence. And whatsoever place shall not receive you, and they hear you not, as you go forth from thence, shake off the dust that is under your feet for a testimony against them. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. Amen. And so it shall be. The things that have been are the things that shall be. All right? God's people who have filled their life up with the word of God will go forth and share what God has given to them. Amen. And when we had visited and ministered to everyone, we followed David back down the stairs and gathered over near the large kitchen. There was a commotion in the kitchen amongst the kitchen staff and the chiefs that prepared the food and served it to the sick children and their families, but I couldn't make sense of it. I saw the CEO of the hospital. Guess you know who that is, right? Who was dressed in a suit and a white dress shirt. He came into the kitchen to hear the complaints of the chefs and the staff. He was an older man with gray hair. The chief executive officer, CEO, represents the father who is over all of his house. Amen. And David was quietly talking with the men in our group when I heard the CEO say, "Okay, no problem. I'll take care of it." And then he called David over to the kitchen with a large beckoning motion of his right arm. Well, you know, when Jesus came, he was the son of David, and he had the solution for the problems of these leaders, these backslidden leaders. And the reason that they didn't have food to serve, Jesus had the food. And God had dried up all these other leaders so that Jesus had a corner on the market, so to speak. Yes, everybody turned to Jesus. They were starving to death under these people, and they turned to Jesus. And, of course, the Father says here, "Okay, no problem. I'll take care of it." And then he grabbed the Davids, you know, the David man-child ministry that's coming now. Brought them to the kitchen with large beckoning motion in his right arm. David humbly and quietly slipped over to the CEO's right side, kind of looking down with his hands in his pockets, as if uncomfortable with the attention being called to him. And Eve goes on to say, humility is a requirement in order to serve the Father and his kingdom and people. Proverbs 29 and 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but he that is of a lowly spirit shall obtain honor. Proverbs 15 and 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor goeth humility. There you go. Before honor goeth humility. So I dare say that these people that are coming as the David Mann Child Reformer Ministry are humble people. They're not looking for any glory. They probably don't have any letters behind their names, etc. I then noticed that David was wearing the same suit as the CEO. Well, you know, our clothing is to put on Jesus Christ, right? That's what Paul said. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So what we wear is our works, like the bride with the righteous acts of the saints. Her glorious garment was the righteous acts of the saints. I then noticed that David was wearing the same suit as the CEO, representing heavenly works of the Father. The CEO put his right arm around David's shoulder and gave him a squeeze and a smile of approval and told the distraught chefs that David will take care of it. John 14 and 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father." So the Father's solution is these Davids that are coming. That's his solution to the problem of the chefs not knowing how to make a decent meal for the people. The chefs being the pastors and so on and so forth, who have, you know, basically not prepared people to grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. Because they don't even believe it's possible, 90% of them, 99% of them maybe, don't even believe it's possible. But we know it's the command. It's not. It's more than possible. It's accomplished by the Lord. So I went over closer so I could hear what all the fuss was about. And I heard the chefs telling David that they were out of loaves of bread to feed to the sick children. It was that way in Jesus' day. They didn't have any bread to feed to the people. And there was all kinds of sickness, physical and spiritual, among the people. And they didn't have anything to feed the people. Right? And my note here was, at that time. The chefs represent ministers in Father's house who prepare spiritual food for his children. In much of Father's house, they have no bread to make his children healthy and mature. It's true. There was a large, deep metal serving pan on one of the counters, and I watched David place his hands on both sides of the pan. He bowed his head and closed his eyes and prayed and blessed it. Then suddenly it was filled to the top with many loaves of bread. Well, as you remember, Jesus multiplied the fishes and the loaves. And so does the man-child body of our day. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. And he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Oh, that fits very good. Ecclesiastes 11, 1 and 2. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, yea, even to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. So that's a solution here. That bread is a solution for the world, right? So give it out, you know, give it to the people. As David multiplied the loaves representing the word, everyone let out a gasp of astonishment. And there was a brief silence before the entire kitchen staff erupted into exclamations of wonderment and praises to God. Yes, the real word is exciting, isn't it? The chefs in much of God's house do not have the bread or word to feed God's children to bring them into the image of Christ. But David is meeting their needs by multiplying the bread. Jesus also multiplied the wine. The bread and the wine are the body and blood of Christ, and we need both. Jesus said it was essential that we eat his bread for eternal life. John 6:47 said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth hath eternal life, and I am the bread of life." Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which cometh down out of heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, meaning the word of God, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove one with another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus was, of course, the Word made flesh. He was giving them the Word. That was the answer. But he told his disciples, "Unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given." So therefore, he didn't share it with everybody. He took his disciples privately aside and explained to them the parables. Jesus therefore said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves." They were so happy, Eve said, that they had enough bread now to feed the children in the hospital. Glory be to God. And of course, my note back then was, we have fought Satan and his helpers to get the bread multiplied, just as they have fought to take it down. And the fullness of the bread, or the word, will cause the children to feel their hunger is being satisfied. And this fullness is who Jesus is. It is the seed that manifests him. Amen. Eve continued, "David tried to slip away quietly while everyone marveled at the miracle that had just taken place. But the CEO called David back over to his side and announced to everyone that he was presenting a reward to David for his faithful mission work at the Children's Cancer Hospital." And the verse you got, Isaiah 33, 15 through 17. And she has it all underlined. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil, he shall dwell on high. His place shall of defense shall be the munitions of the rocks. His bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar. Oh, praise be to God. All of UBM and the kitchen staff of the hospital gathered around to watch David be presented with his reward. Well, I believe it's a reward of time restored. It's also a retirement party for David's old man. Yes. Yes, the old man's passing away. The new man is coming, right? Amen. Well, he said the CEO brought out a small, polished, blonde wooden box that was lighted inside. It had a clear glass display on the front of it. Inside was an open-faced golden pocket watch with a golden chain and a golden crucifixion spike attached to the other end of the chain. It comes with the price, doesn't it? My note was, in many companies, it's customary on retirement to give the retiree a gold watch. This one has a crucifixion to go with it. Jesus retired his old man with the crucifixion spike. The spike represents staying on the cross. The time of the old man's works is over at crucifixion. Rewarded for a time of crucifixion is, I will restore unto you the years that my great army which I sent among you. That's Joel chapter 2. And I'll read 23 through 27. There is a restoration coming to God's people to restore them. The faithful among God's people to restore them. Remember in Joel 2, he was talking to the bride. Joel 2, 23 through 27. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causeth to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. So remember that Jesus the man-child was the first to receive the former rain. He was also the first to give this to the bride, the ones that John Baptist said was the bride. He gave them the former rain. Then they went out under this anointing, the same anointing Jesus had, and did the same thing Jesus did. Of course, you have to understand and know that this is your privilege to do this. And you must be filled with God's Spirit to do this. And the floor shall be full of wheat. Oh, there's your fruit right there. And the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar. These are chewing on God's crop. We call them the curse. Right? And the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. He's going to restore what this army which he sent. Deuteronomy 28 was spoken by God. He spoke the curse. He sent the curse. Right? There is a people that are going to overcome the curse. Praise God. And they're going to be rewarded. These enemies are given to crucify us, but all that the crucifier stole, God will multiply back. Verse 26, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God, that he hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. And at that time, when we first shared this revelation, we received this text twice. Isaiah 22:20-25. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, meaning whom God will raise up, and which is, of course, pointing to a resurrection, right? He is a type of the crucified man-child who takes the place of the apostate leaders. Okay, I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe. Oh, glory be to God. And strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, which is the bride, as David was a father to the bride of Jerusalem, and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. That's the binding and loosing that was given to David, right? He's going to give to these people who take the place of those that didn't do their job, the apostate leaders. And he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. There's your binding and loosing. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. He shall be for a throne of glory to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, every small vessel, from the cups even unto all the flagons. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place give way, and it shall be hewn down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. Well, when Jesus was cut off, he was taken from the cross, the nail had to give way, then resurrection, catching up to the throne, came as a type for Jesus in the man-child Davids of our day too, right? So that's, everybody thinks this is a totally negative thing. It's, no, it's not. The timepiece hung at the back of the display box to the right as the chain dipped around over to the left where the spike hung attached on the left. It's the leftists that do this, always. You can always tell the leftists in the Bible. They're also always crucifying the righteous, those that are sent by God. The leftists who used the spike on Jesus and the man-child of our day, but Judas, a factious leftist, also died at this time by his own hand. Okay, he went on to say, David was smiling and looking down a lot because he felt uncomfortable being openly recognized for his ministry work and slipped the reward into his pocket. All right. In Matthew 6:1-4, take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore thou doest alms, sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. And just to note, I do feel uncomfortable about this, but the Lord ordered that Eve present this to you, and I'm just being obedient. In fact, I tried to get her to do it. She wouldn't do it. And of course, this text is about many people who are humble to the Lord and going to serve him, right? We all proceeded out of the beautiful marble building, down the white steps, and onto the large stone-paved area where there were outdoor tables and chairs, preparing for the coming marriage feast of the 7-day tribulation, Eve put in the context. I agree. That's what it's all about. There is a great marriage feast of 7 years coming. And the man-child is going to feed the people, multiply the loaves, etc., etc. David was then called, like he multiplied the wine for the marriage feast in his first miracle, right? David was then called to go with the CVO to discuss his next plans for David and UBM. Oh, look at that. Concerning the crucifixion of David here, Angelica just had a dream that I died and was placed in a room, and she received in the dream this represented a tomb. But then she knew I was not there, meaning a resurrection had happened. So here's David being called to the CEO. I noticed that David left his journal and pen on one of the tables, so I went over and I picked it up and began reading some of the prayers David had written to the Lord. It was like reading the Psalms. Well, yep, the Psalms, David, oh, my goodness, Job had nothing on David. David went through it over and over and over and over and over with the leftists, right? It was like reading the Psalms. I read about sufferings and griefs and trials and the many prayers for his family and the sheep he cared for. And then I read his prayer concerning his house. And this represents a spiritual memorial for David here. In the dream, I was praying for the Lord to please provide for David when a voice above and behind me said, "Tell everyone in all of UBM to take up a collection for the purchase of David's house." So Father told Eve to tell you this, so I'm just letting her say it in obedience. I have never taken up a collection for myself and had had anyone else take one up for me, so this feels quite awkward. However, I am not doing it. The Lord, through Eve, is. Blame it on Eve. And Eve said, "I know that David would never do something like this in real life out of a greed or personal ambition. He has preached against the filthy lucre of the apostate church leaders for years and has never let his own personal needs be known or taken an offering or received UBM money. He has given to everyone. He will only share this out of obedience to the Father. A couple of months ago, I learned that the owners of the house that the Lord promised to David and which he is renting wanted to sell it." Of course, this is again back then, you know, "but were giving him first choice to purchase it. Well, when the owner told me this, I knew it was time to buy it. So by faith, I told them that I would buy it." And here is a little background on this house. The man and the wife who rented this house before me asked me if I would come and look at it with them when they were thinking about renting it. So I did walk with them through the house, and the realtor was showing it to them. And I said privately to the Lord at that time as I walked through it, "Lord, I like this place. Could you get me something like this?" I didn't tell them that I did this, but after they got the house, they were informed by the Lord that I was to own the house. And they told quite a few people this, but I didn't know it. I was renting a house a few miles away. And when I first saw that previous house, the one a few miles away, the Lord said, "Call them." I was passing by on the road. I saw a for sale sign, and the Lord said, "Call them." And I said, "Lord, that house is for sale, not rent." The Lord had told us to only rent until our own houses were provided. And I've told everybody that too. And he said again, "Call them." So I called the realtor, who said they only wanted to sell it. I said, well, I don't care if you keep it for sale. It won't sell until I'm supposed to be leaving it. I said this because I had already asked the Lord to let me only rent this house until I was to leave for the house that He has chosen for me to own, which is the house I'm in now, which is the one I am in now. So they agreed to rent it to me. The owner thought that he had the house sold 7 times in a row. Each time I told him the Lord told me the house would not sell. This is that previous rent house, remember? Now, and each time he thought it was a sure thing. And my wife wanted to go find another place. But I told her that we didn't need to worry. The house would not sell. And after about the third time of me telling him this, the owner said to me, wow, you have a pretty good record of being right. I said, it's not me, it's the Lord. This guy was a Methodist and really didn't know that the Lord would talk to us. And after that, he would ask me every time, and I would tell him the same thing, until the 8th time. I told him the same thing every time. No, it's not going to sell. Until the 8th time. And when the 8th time came, I felt differently in my spirit. So I asked the Lord if it was my time to go to my house. And reached in my pocket and I pulled out 3 coins, which is what I had in there. And they were all heads for yes. So I called across town to one of the brethren who were having a Bible study at their house, and asked them to get a confirmation. So 5 of them threw coins on the floor, and they all came up heads. So that comes to 8 heads for the 8th time. And the house sold, and the couple who were renting my future house had already invited me to come and stay with them. And when they decided to leave, I took over the rent and am still here. And like they told everyone, God said David was to have the house. And it's not a fancy house. It's the only one on this mountain, and it's quiet and it's woodsy and lots of wildlife, and I like it that way. And we have a prayer and a Bible meeting here with a few of us 6 days a week, and win a lot of battles for our country and for the church by Father's grace. Amen. So it's been a very useful house. We put up a lot of people who wanted to come and visit, and so on. And Eve said, since the owners were wanting to sell now, I was wondering if David might have to move again. So I asked the Father to give me a word of faith at random concerning the house situation. And my finger was on Psalm 68:16. Why look ye askance, ye high mountains, at the mountain which God hath desired for his abode? And, of course, I'm sitting on top of a mountain here, the tallest one around. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. Wow. In this case, the house of David is on a mountain, even as King David's was, right? Yep. Boy, God's got the plan, and he reveals it to you after a while. It all comes to pass. And then I was reminded of another psalm, Psalm 132:1-18. Lord, remember for David all his affliction, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty one of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up to my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a tabernacle for the mighty one of Jacob. Pretty cool. Verse 6, Lo, we heard of it in Ephrathah, We found it in the field of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn unto David in truth, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. And if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children also shall sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. There it is. Her priests also will I clothe with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud, and I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. And this is my note that I put here back then. I received by faith at random, the Lord will build thee a house. So we're talking about two houses here. We have been since the beginning, and we're going to do it all the way up until the end. The important one, of course, is the Lord's house. But the Lord will build David's a house. And I received this by faith at random, 1 Chronicles 17:9-10. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place, and be moved no more. You hear that? Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the first. Well, we know about the children of wickedness. They did a good job crucifying us. And as from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I will subdue all thine enemies. Moreover, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house. Okay, so that's David's house. The big house and David's house. A few of us who knew about this situation, Eve said, were praying for the financial provision needed. So in the dream, I called all of UBM together and announced the collection that the Lord had spoken concerning David's house. And it is in obedience to this portion of the dream that we are sharing this with larger UBM. Father is wanting to use us all in his purpose for this situation, that his will be fulfilled. It is purely out of obedience that we share this and not for any other reason. And we all gave sacrificially as much as we could, both small amounts of money and large. I woke up as I was looking at the large woven basket of donations. In other words, all this is in the dream, right? That we had all taken up, and we were all excited to present it to David when he returned from his meeting with the CEO. I like that. I believe the woven basket represents our combined, this is Eve speaking, our combined interwoven efforts to bless David with the funds needed for the purchase of his house. And I believe that this coming back from the meeting with the CEO could represent spiritual resurrection and being caught up to the throne. And as a lot of people don't understand, the man-child has a ministry. He's caught up to the throne. It's the throne of David, as we have proved in hidden manna. And the throne, of course, is to receive that authority of David, the keys of David, so on and so forth. Eve went on to say, I asked for a text by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on my steps in Psalm 17:5, a prayer of David, 1 through 15. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer, that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes look upon equity. Thou hast proved my heart, and thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, and findest nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. And as for the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast thy paths, my feet have not slipped. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them that take refuge in thee, from those that rise up against them. Amen. Amen. And he has done it. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, my deadly enemies that compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the earth. He is like a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked by thy sword. For men by thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, whose portion is in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy treasure. They are satisfied with children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake, beholding thy form. And Eve went on to say, I asked for a word by faith at random, for the part of the dream where Father spoke to me and said, tell all of UBM to take up a collection for the purchase of David's house. And my finger was on, hast commanded. And that's in Psalm 119 and 4. Thou hast commanded us thy precepts, that we should observe them diligently. Amen. So we're just being obedient here. I asked for a couple of words by faith at random for the gold watch with the spike and received Ezekiel 44:18. In context 15 through 18. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, says the Lord Jehovah. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen tires upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins, and they shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat, which is a symbol of works, man's works. In other words, their works will not be those of the flesh, right? And the other text I received by faith at random, Revelation 2:24-28. My finger was on the phrase, I will cast upon you none other burden. Praise the Lord. Well, this could well mean that this burden of sacrifice will be enough for the righteous, right? Verse 24, but to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which you have, hold fast until I come. And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as a vessel of the potter are broken to shivers, as also I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Okay, so I kind of hold fast to my interpretation there. None other burden. Amen. I ask for a word concerning the chefs running out of bread to feed the children, and then David having to multiply the bread for the children. Well, you know, we've been preparing to multiply the bread around the world, and it's starting. We are seeing two revivals. We can't tell you where they are because it would get people hurt. And our books are spreading in these two revivals. And the old order Babylonish leaders are falling. Praise God. And so it will be here too in this country. Okay. And so she received by faith at random for these chefs, right, running out of bread. Daniel 5 and 26, finger on Mene. And 24 through 29 is the context. Then was the hand, the part of the hand sent from before him, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. So this is the answer that God has for the chefs who had no bread. God hath numbered thy kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And so we look around us and we find out that's true. It is happening. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple, which is royalty, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And, by the way, that was the very night that Cyrus, representing Trump, was coming through the door. And this king, of course, died that night. Yes. And Daniel was promoted over the kingdom, and Cyrus was promoted over the kingdom. There you have the parallel. Isn't that neat? I asked Father for a couple of random words concerning David's meeting with the CEO to discuss future plans, and received Acts 9:1-1 with my finger on the phrase, the street called straight. Here it is. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go to the street which is called straight. We our path needs to be made straight, right? And inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And a little further, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. There you go. So even Paul was a type of a man-child, right? And the other was Acts 5 and 25. And my finger was on standing. And there came one and told them, behold, the men whom you put in prison are in the temple standing and teaching the people. And you know Joseph was a type of the man child and of the end time man child, and Jesus too. Well, like Joseph and Jesus, a type of the end-time David man-childs, they came out of prison to minister in God's anointing. Yes. Amen. So Eve goes on to say, I pray everyone will be obedient to give what the Father puts upon your heart to contribute to this effort and his purposes that he has revealed in these revelations. Okay, and then back when we first put this up, this is the note I put here. Hi, saints. So you see that the Lord showed us prophetically and then confirmed it to us that we were to take up a collection for David's house. This, of course, will be a temporary offering and will be discontinued as soon as possible. Thank you for you so much for your gift for this house, which is used for a prayer and Bible study meeting 6 days a week. We also host visitors and ministers to locals here as often as we can. This is our ministry office. It is not a fancy house, but very simple. None of the rent, utilities, internet, vehicles, or legal insurance or other costs have been borne by the ministry, but by me personally, who receive no money from the ministry. Other ministries claim all of this cost belongs to the ministry, yet I have borne this cost along with a few who support me. Now I will continue to bear the costs, except that there will be no rent. This has suited me well all these years, and I would not have changed a thing if the Lord had not intervened with dreams and words and direction from him concerning his support for this house. Thank you so much for your help. Love from your servant in Christ, David. And then here's the note of what you can do about it. You can send a check or money order written to David Eels, marked for David's house. And it's UBM, Post Office Box 231616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123, USA. Please send your email address too so we can thank you. Now, here's the new part to this that we also added at the end. And it's David receives two houses. Again, it's the same two houses. It's the house of the Lord and it's the house of David, although they're both spiritual, but there is a literal peace in there that I've never seen happened before. It's very interesting. And this was given to Eve Brast the first week of January 2020. I dreamed that David, representing the David man-child body, and I, representing the bride, were touring a house in a city, David's house. It was a three-story house. And that's, of course, spiritually, not physically. This house is not a three-story. Located on one of the main city streets. And of course this is the kingdom, the whole kingdom here is involved in this, you know. The local UBM brethren were also there touring with us. This is the current UBM house, which is representing, my note, representing the larger UBM bride body who are touring or passing through as sojourners where the bride is being matured. Amen. So the bride, of course, is all over the world, you know, and but he uses types and shadows. So the realtor lady was showing us the house. It was so clean and fully furnished in an elegant, modern style, and I remember that the couches were all white. That's only true spiritually, but I think it speaks of the resting place of the bride is holy. I remember thinking and whispering to David, this is the house I've always wanted. Yes, the bride desires the holy house ruled by the David. And the man-child body, as King David, she says, ruled over Jerusalem that John was told was the bride in Revelation. Amen. David took a white piece of paper and wrote $175,000. He took a white piece of paper and wrote $175,000 on it and handed it to the realtor. He asked her if the owners would take $175,000 for it, and she was happy and said, "I'll ask them. I don't think it will be a problem." She acted like the sale was a done deal. Well, amazingly, this is the price that the Lord told us to offer the realtor lady for my house. And this could be a physical aspect to this spiritual dream as assigned to us. So that's the reason we're sharing it. And not only that, but the two houses are in here. All right. So this is very unusual, actually. David said, "Okay, great." And then we all walked out of that house onto the sidewalk, and we walked about a block up the city street to a large mansion. This is the house of the Lord. The sun shone on everything in the city, and all the houses and buildings were made of white, white brick and stone. Even the sidewalks were white. So you can see this is not a natural city. This is a heavenly city and a spiritual revelation. And as we were walking, the sun was shining on all of us. And I looked to my right, a little ahead of me, and saw Merle walking with us. Well, that's another relative coming in, right? He looked over at David and said something with a big smile on his face. He looked so free. And David said something back to him. His wife, Missy, was walking behind me and also joined in their conversation. We were all happy and excited. And when we entered the mansion, there was a fairly large entryway, and beyond that was a very large living room that opened to the left of the entryway. The sun shone on everything in the city, and all the houses and buildings were made of white, white brick or stone. Even the sidewalks were white. Well, my thought, knowing the rest of the dream, is this is our White House. We had dreams about the Davids being president. They are in the spiritual realm what Trump is in the natural realm, right? This is our White House, but represents our expanded ministry and administration and not just a building, right? It was so large that it had high open ceilings, and you could see the two support pillars and all the beams and rafters. All the lighting was like track lighting along the rafters and beams. And she said the temple of Solomon also had two pillars, Jachin and Boaz. Jachin meaning Yah establishes, and Boaz means strength. Yah establishes strength. The house is held up with these two pillars. It is the Lord in us that has the strength to establish us, right? See, he brings these things to pass, and he's been doing it. To the right of the entryway was a large kitchen with a dining area at the far back corner. And on the side of the kitchen closest to the entryway was a children's kitchen. Everything was small in their sizes. There were two little blonde, meaning submitted to the sun, S-O-N-S-U-N, right? Two little blonde girls and a blonde boy, sisters and brother, practicing making meals in the children's kitchen. Well, teaching the little sister how to prepare the spiritual food for others, Eve writes, and yes, that's true. This is what we have been told by the Lord that we will do, you know, get the gospel out to the world in a huge way. The carpet in this area was evergreen in color, and there was a staircase from the children's kitchen area that led up to the second and third floors. This is, of course, maturity in the kingdom, right? Evergreen is the color of eternal life, she says. Yeah, and the third floor is the highest level of maturity, representing spirit, soul, and body, right? We went up to the second floor where all the bedrooms were. There was a children's play area, and I had brought a box of old vintage toys for the children to play with. So I unpacked the box and placed the toys in the play area. The children were so excited because they had never seen these toys before. And she writes, representing revealing the ancient past to the younger Christians and them desiring them. Amen. Then we went up to the third floor, where there was a huge bath area. And I suppose it's for cleansing of the body, right? It was like an upscale spa with walk-in showers and massage tables and chairs. And over to my right was a large tiled patio with sliding glass doors. Outside on this patio was a large, tall, yellow water slide. There was a woman out there supervising all the children riding on the slide. There were these clear plastic dolphins that each child would sit on to ride down the slide. The lady would also hand the children white towels to dry themselves with. And Eve put, we will be able to minister the water of the word and the importance of sanctification to the elect children of God. Yes. I looked up at the high raftered ceilings above the bath area and saw the most beautiful floral hangings draping down. They smelled heavenly and were the most beautiful flowers I'd ever seen. She said, in parenthesis, a sacrifice of a sweet smell is our sanctification and cleansing ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Then we all went back down to the living room area and stood next to one of the support pillars. David looked to be in his 30s. Oh, yeah, I'll take that. There's that restoration, right? Where Moses went into the wilderness, and his natural force was not abated, nor his eye dimmed, right? And there wasn't one feeble one among them when they went into the wilderness, which is the tribulation. There's a restoration happens there, folks. 30 is the age at which one can enter public ministry. David, Joseph, and Jesus were 30, and the man-child will be anointed at 30 spiritually. There were secret service details, angels, and men in hard hats installing surveillance cameras and monitors throughout the house. Oh. Again, this is the house of our ministry, not any particular building, you know. Psalm 91, 10 through 12. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Then she said, David was now the president. This will have more meaning one day. Revelation 5 and 10. And madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth. Okay, so there you have it. There, it's God himself speaking about the reigning of his people. And of course, David was a part of the bride. He was a part of Jerusalem, but he was the head too, the earthly head of the bride. And she puts Revelation 2 and 26 also. He that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. And also Hebrews 2, 6 through 8. But one hath somewhere testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, and thou crownest him, that is man, with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. And thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he subjected all things unto him, he left nothing that is not subject unto him. So there you have the president, right? Both Joseph and Daniel, my note here, types of the man-child, were second only to the king on his throne representing God. The David man-child body will rule in the earth, confirmed in other dreams. And I mentioned a couple of them here with the link. David said something like, that's not really necessary, meaning all this protection and all this stuff, you know. But the Secret Service guys insisted. The angels watch over our safety, Eve said. I said to David, well, you are the president of the United States. He said something about the price of the mansion costing $850 million. And I said, well, that's a drop in the bucket since you have billions of dollars. Okay. $850 million may be the cost of the ministry in one day. And I know that billions will come in for the kingdom's work and ministry to provide for refugees and getting the gospel to the world. And in my mind, in the dream, I knew it was about $8 billion, Eve said. Don't know if that's over the life of the ministry and what it will cost to do this for the people of God, whatever. In 2007, the Father appeared to me, a very clear vision, and gave me in a vision $1 billion to take care of his children in refuge. And more recently, we asked for more, and he said he would give $1.6 billion. So we asked for more to provide for his people and to reach out to the world with the gospel, since we are supporting hundreds of missionaries in dangerous lands with money and literature. We don't talk much about this. We ain't going to tell you where they are or what their names are. But there's a revival going on. Awesome. I ask for exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I did. I've asked him several times for this because we want to cover a lot. And then we get this dream. And Ephesians 3 and 20 says, Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. David said, Yeah, well, I guess you're right. And then I woke up. And I asked the Father for a word for this dream by faith at random, and my finger was on the Jews gathered in Esther 9 and 2, in context 1 through 5. Now in the 12th month, which is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to put into execution, on the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have rule over them, whereas it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them, which is the enemy, that hated them. And it shall happen. We've been told this many times. And by the way, as a direct result of Mordecai, the man-child, and Esther, the bride, intercession. That's how it came. So the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them was fallen upon all the peoples. And all the princes of the provinces, and the satraps, and the governors, and they that did the king's business, helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai was fallen upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went forth throughout all the provinces, for the man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. And the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and with slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto them that hated them. Well, yes, indeed, it was a long story, but a good one, and it will have a good end. Praise be to God. And the Lord is giving us a victory, and he's even doing wondrous things that we're loving to hear about. In Jesus' name. Thank you, saints, for being patient with us in this revelation here. And we'll post this on the site with the address. It's UBM Post Office Box 231616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123, USA. So also send your email address so we can give thank you very much. Amen. And we'll put a PayPal thing on here too. So that is it for today. God bless you and keep you. Keep us in your prayers. Let me say, big things are about to happen. The economy is going to crash. Alongside it, the GCR is going to bring the economy back up ultimately. But for a while, it's going to crash. And what's happened with the banksters and the elite, the deep state, is that they've been plundering God's people for many years. By using and manipulating the stocks, the market, the economy, etc. And now it's turned around and coming back in their direction. That's what's going to happen. And let me say, they're saying the 10 days of darkness is almost upon us here. And they're going to shut down an awful lot. They're going to make opportunity for people to stay in their homes when they use their new broadcasting system to bring into the homes all the revelations of the evil things that the deep state and their lords have done. And before it's over, the Red Sea will take them all out. So you get ready, you get prepared, be ready to, you know, keep your gas tanks topped off or pray for them to be filled, one or the other, it don't matter. But get prepared for this thing that's coming. It is coming fast now. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing for all your people. Lord, bless all your people that are listening today. Lord, bless those that love you. Keep them, protect them in the days to come. Protect them from the crazy plagues that are going to go back and forth across the country here, and etc. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 231616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
thirsting soul, pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus. Lord Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.